It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
And I proudly do nothing, and it's led by the doctor of football, Brian Bulaga, because at least on the radio, he's nicer. Take it away.
Jason, good evening. How are you?
I'm great. We got a soccer game in a little while, so you and I have both will have spent some time at the pitch today. So
oh, that's I a love good it. Thing. It's fantastic. It's fantastic. That's great to hear. All right. Obviously, you know what's coming. You know it. We all know it. Breaking news. What do you think? You expected it. You kind of were talking about it the last few weeks whenever it got brought up. Surprise, not surprise. What does this do for their obvious Sunday night matchup that was scheduled randomly to be a Sunday night game when it had no business being a Sunday night game as the schedulers laid it out before the season started?
Yeah, we know that Aaron Rodgers was in contact with the Steelers. He had been keeping Mike Tomlin in the loop. He visited there on March 21st. I was just going back in my archives. Unfortunately, you were not on the field that day. You were gone already. But, you know, I was thinking back immediately to that 2021 game at Lambeau where he and Tomlin exchanged those looks and smirks and nods when Rodgers was trying to get a free play and Tomlin called timeout. I think people forget, and I'm using this in my story on channel3000.com, that while Mike Tomlin did prevent the free play, on the very next play, Aaron Rodgers threw a 23-yard touchdown pass to Randall Cobb, and the Packers went on to win that game. And Rodgers went on to win his second straight and fourth overall MVP on that day. So, look, this has been a terribly kept secret. The only possibility that I thought there was that he wouldn't be a Steeler was if somehow, you know, J.J. McCarthy came to the Twin Cities this offseason and fell flat on his face, and they were Kevin O'Connell was like, oh my God, we cannot start this guy. Based on the conversations I've had with my friends who cover the Vikings, that did not happen. They are really excited about where he's at. We'll see if that's well-placed excitement or not. But once it became clear that he was not going to go to the Vikings, this was really his only play, right? He didn't really want to go to the Giants. And then they signed Russell Wilson. Like, this was it. If he wanted to play, this was where he was going to end up playing. I think it's a good fit. I think he's going to find success. I will always wonder what might have happened in New York if he had not ruptured his Achilles. I would love to see that alternate universe where he stays healthy for the entire 23 and 24 seasons and what that looks like and who's still employed and how he's viewed, but that's not where we live in 2025, and now he's going to live in the, is it the Steel City or the Iron City? Never sure about that.
I like to say the Steel City. I like to say the Steel City. But I don't know. I think they have, like, different names for it, like, on different days of the week. It's just me, but I don't know. Do you think, now, I mean, you said good fit, and I think you look from a, organizational standpoint, stability. It's probably mm-hmm. the closest thing to the Packers that we can think of, right? Like, it probably is mm-hmm. the closest thing. But from a personnel standpoint, right, like, you look at this offense from the Steelers, and obviously I'm going to go straight to what I know because, I mean, I don't know anything about running backs. I know what good running backs are because I've blocked for a few. I know what good wide receivers are because I've got to watch a lot of them. But I know what good offensive lines are. I've played on a few, and I've got to watch a lot of them as well. I got to play against some, and I know guys that have played on a lot of them. This one isn't that type of offensive line. How do you think that is going to work itself out? Because obviously Aaron isn't, 31 anymore or 28. He needs time in the pocket to be effective. How do you think that's going to pan itself out?
Yeah, I am not a smart man, Jenny, but I know what good offensive lines look like. and they're not. I mean, you know, I was talking about this with KBN and Kyle Wallace, and look, I couldn't tell you who their starting five are. I don't cover the Steelers. I got enough to handle with the starting five of the Packers and the center not showing up because he reasonably wants his contract adjusted and competition at left tackle and phony competition at right tackle, et cetera, et cetera. But, yeah, I was just reading something by Judy Batista on NFL.com, and, you know, I what you said is exactly what I meant about the good fit. Like, it's an established coach who has won a Super Bowl, who has a history, who is not going to let Aaron Rodgers do whatever the hell he wants, that's for sure, unlike maybe the way things played out in New York. So that, I think, is a good fit. I think that's what he needs. I think that's the kind of – I hope he, dare I say, humbles himself to just, you know, put all that respect that he's talked about having for Tomlin into practice and not create – unnecessary drama and maybe even give up the Pat McAfee show. But from a personnel standpoint, you know, I'm not even sure, you know, they just spent a boatload to pay after acquiring DK Metcalf. DK Metcalf ain't Davante Adams. Like, he's fast and he's been productive, but, you know, it's not like they have a bunch of history together. They're not going to bring in Randall Cobb out of retirement. Devontae's playing for the Rams now. Like, he's going to have to dance with the lineup that the Steelers brung him. And if they can find more, you know, personnel options, that great. I don't know what those are going to look like, though. I mean, where are you getting guys at the 11th hour now? Like, I think they talked to Gabe Davis. Like, I'm sorry, Gabe Davis has had some good moments in the NFL, but he's not going to be a difference maker for your offense. Are they going to trade for Romeo Doubs, as was rumored for a period there? I don't know, maybe, but I don't remember Aaron Rodgers being all that tight with Romeo Doubs during their 1 year together. So you're 100% right. What is their offensive line going to be? Is it going to be better than what they had in front of Russell Wilson last year? Because if not, that's the kind of thing that short circuits an entire season. And although his ruptured Achilles was his fault, right? Like, that ball was supposed to come out. Not that you aren't familiar with Aaron Rodgers not throwing the ball when he was supposed to, because you certainly blocked for your friend many times on extended plays that were not designed to be extended. You know, that play specifically, you know, if the ball comes out, then we get to live maybe in that universe that I was talking about before, where he actually stays healthy for the last 2 years, and maybe people look at the Jets and his time there completely differently. Maybe he's even still there, and they're chasing a Super Bowl. But instead, we obviously know that they're not. And how about that, by the way, that they play each other in week one? Like, we obviously are fixated on the Packers-Steelers game, but the fact that he gets both of his former teams on the schedule, plus the Bears, who are also on the schedule. I mean, that's crazy that it worked out that way.
And week one with the Jets, that is going to be, are they in New York?
That's a good question. I don't know that off the top of my head. Think about what he said on McAfee a few months ago about how, you know, he flew out there on his own dime. And that they basically, what the hell did he fly out there for? Just for him to be disrespected and told that his services were no longer needed.
All right, so, the vote from both of you. Which would Rodgers like to win more, Packers or Jets?
Jets.
I'd probably say Jets because it's so recent and how bad it, like, how bad it went. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like, how sour it went and how it ended.
But make no mistake, he wants to beat the Packers too. I mean, I don't want to sound like I don't think that he wants to beat them, and and play extremely well against them too, Brian. But I don't think there's the same level of animus as he feels toward Aaron Glenn right now, which I'm guessing he really wants to stick it, you know, where on him.
All right, question for both of you. Was there any real chance that he was going to go to Minnesota?
I think if J.J. McCarthy was not who they thought he was, or if he had some sort of setback in the time frame that would have allowed for it. I mean, Rodgers said he talked to Kevin O'Connell on multiple occasions. They've known each other for a long time. Like, yeah, but the only reason there isn't that possibility is because clearly the guy that they drafted 10th overall out of Michigan, they feel really good about him, and they feel really good about where he's at health-wise. They feel really good about what Kevin O'Connell can get out of him, especially after what he just got out of Sam Darnold. So, I mean, was there ever a chance? Yeah, but it was contingent solely on the Minnesota Vikings deciding that their chosen quarterback wasn't ready, because what they would have done would have said, you know, he wasn't able to practice at all last year because of being on injured reserve. Because remember, you know, he took a medical redshirt, J.J. McCarthy did. Like, you can't practice when you're on IR. So he got nothing but mental reps all last season. A little bit like Love when he was the number three quarterback throughout the 2020 season. And, you know, he didn't even get to wear his jersey on game day at any point his rookie year. And so if they had what they had seen from J.J. McCarthy had been, oh, God, this guy, there's no way he's going to be ready for opening day. Then you get Rodgers as your bridge quarterback for this year. You got all that talent around. And then McCarthy becomes the starter in 2026 with an entire year being around Rodgers. That's different. But they obviously did not see anything that raised alarm bells about him, and so they were not interested.
Yeah, I mean, I'm exactly with Jason. I think there was a possibility of it for sure. I mean, that's kind of why I kept saying like this is taking so long into this part of the offseason program because they wanted to see what they had, right? Like, I mean, they wanted to see what McCarthy was able to do in this part of the offseason program and how he's able to run the offense, how he's able to command the huddle and do things like that. Because no, it's not playing a game or able to, you know, judge him off that, but you can learn a lot about a quarterback and how he's controlling things in this part of the year when guys really, you know, don't want to be there doing it. Like you can get a lot, you could learn a lot from a young guy and see how he's operating. So, yeah, I think there was a possibility, but Jason explained it perfectly. I mean, he hit the nail on the head with it.
Sorry, Doc. Go ahead.
No, I mean, that's exactly. But Jason, when's the next OTA that you guys get to go to?
Well, so we're done. All we have left now is the mandatory minicamp, and as you know, it's usually 3 weeks of OTAs. Instead, it's two. So, like, we should have another OTA next week and then the mandatory minicamp the week after that. But because they're going to report to training camp and have the first practice on July 23rd, LaFleur and many other coaches around the league decided, basically, we're going to send our guys out earlier than we normally would. So they cut OTAs by a week. So instead of having nine practices, they only have six. So I'm done with my two OTAs I got to attend, and then next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, is the mandatory minicamp, and we'll have those practices, and then we'll say arrivederci to the Packers players until late July.
All right, so what do you think? I mean, obviously, you know, we don't know if Elton's going to be showing up. Minicamp, just as everyone knows, what is going to happen in this mandatory mini camp is very similar to how OTAs are already going. And how you described it, Jason, is very low tempo, right? It's very low tempo in how this has gone this spring. But do you think like you're gonna, you guys are gonna learn anything about position battles or anything else from this mini camp? Or is this all gonna be decided when we show up and we're learning things on July 23rd?
Yeah, I mean, look, we asked LaFleur because I am curious. Like, again, you know, you have not been out of the league that long, buddy, and yet it is so different. Like, even OTAs are different. I made that joke this morning with you on our show about Jeff Saturday turning and saying, "Does that look like non-contact to you?" That was 2012. Like, I know that seems like a long time, but that's, you know, 12 years or whatever it was ago. Like, you know, now these are, they're like glorified jog throughs, and then they go full speed for the 2-minute drill, and that's it. Yep. And so the question that I had for LaFleur was, is it going to be the same for the minicamp, or do you at least, like, again, you can't go out there in pads, you're not going to be hitting each other, obviously not, but like, don't you need to ratchet it up a little bit before you say goodbye to these guys? Like, you know, they're running a bunch of 3-quarter speed, 7-on-7 periods. Like, I just, you know, a wise man once said, I mean, Joe Philbin has a lot of good ones. They're not all his original work. You know, him and his, it's not X's and O's, it's Jimmy's and Joe's and all his lines that he had over the years. But one of them is, the only way you get better at playing football is by playing football. And whatever they're doing, I guess it's theoretically football, but it is a very light and less strenuous version of that game. And to me, that I'm fine with it. If Matt LaFleur thinks this is what's best for his team, who am I to argue? But I do feel like I've seen a lot of really good football teams go considerably harder in the off season than what I have seen during the two practices that I have attended this off season. That is undeniable.
All right, Jason, we've run out of time. Other than for me to tell you this, I know you're going to interview Aaron Rodgers soon, and when you do, you must inform him that as a favor to me, who got him 2 rounds at Augusta, he has to get Brian Bulaga on the same course.
I thought you meant on the Steelers roster.
No.
Because he looks more like a tight end now than a tackle. So I don't – that sounds like a terrible idea.
Yeah, that would not be good.
I agree. But
so he's got to get Bulaga onto
– Augusta.
Augusta? You don't have the juice anymore?
No, as a favor for me getting him on there twice, I can then tell him – you, because you now know so many people you can get on whenever you want, Aaron Rodgers, you need to get Bulaga on Augusta.
Okay. You can't get him on Augusta anymore?
No. I'm done. I'm down
Did
to
you
one
ever
out.
Actually
I'm down
play
to a
there?
One. Have I played there? No, I don't need to play there. I've walked the course, been there for the Masters.
I'm sorry. Let me correct myself. Have you actually been there to pick up lost golf balls? Because that's really what you do.
I never found one lost golf ball at Augusta. They wouldn't let me go close enough to the water to start looking in there.
So you got your big scooper. All right, guys.
Thanks,
Take
Jason.
Care. Be good.
Jason Wilde, All Packers All the Time. By the way, all of you that wish to comment on Aaron Rodgers, we are doing a special extended show from 6 to 7, which I really want to give people just a chance among other comments from Brian Bulaga. Just whatever you want to say. Aaron Rodgers is now with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Take it away. You only get one comment. You get 30 seconds, 60 seconds max. What do you want to say? That'll be between 6 and 7. Back to the doctor next.